You'll remember from the last talk that all the arahats and bodhisattvas present in the Buddha's assembly were reluctant to go and inquire after Vimalakirti's health. When the Buddha, knowing that Vimalakirti was sick, asked them to do so. And you may remember the reason why they were reluctant to go. The reason was that each and every one of them had had a painful, perhaps a rather embarrassing encounter with Vimalakirti on some previous occasion. An encounter which had exposed the limitations of their particular approach to the Dharma. And in the end, of course, you may remember this too, Manjushri agrees to go. Manjushri is, of course, fully aware of the difficulties of the undertaking. He's fully aware of Vimalakirti's spiritual greatness. He's fully aware, so to speak, of the danger. He knows what may happen if you come into contact with such a powerful current of spiritual electricity as Vimalakirti. You may get a shock. But in the end, he says, although he cannot be withstood by someone of my feeble defenses, still, sustained by the grace of the Buddha, I will go to him and will converse with him as well as I can. Now, the word translated as grace in this particular passage is the Sanskrit word ajisthana. It certainly doesn't represent, it certainly doesn't mean grace in the Christian sense. It represents, we may say, the influence, the non-dualistic influence of the Buddha's transcendental experience of enlightenment. As that influence appears within the framework of the dualistic subject-object relation, as though coming from an external source, It isn't really coming from an external source. What Manjushri means is, what Manjushri means by using this language is that he's not going to see Vimalakirti under his own steam, as it were. He's not going to Vimalakirti with any fixed idea. He's going to deal with the situation as it arises. He's going to deal with it spontaneously. At the same time, he has no idea, he goes with no idea of acting spontaneously. So, when Manjushri expresses his willingness to go and see Vimalakirti, to inquire after his health, everybody in the assembly is very excited. Except, of course, the Buddha. He just sits there smiling through it all. But everybody else was quite excited because everybody thought that if these two came together, there would be a wonderful discussion. There'd be a wonderful discussion, a real clash, perhaps. Just like between two symbols, yeah? Between Manjushri and Vimalakirti. And they thought, they believed, that something really profound was bound to emerge from this encounter, from this clash of the two, the Bodhisattva and the wise old elder. So what happened? a quarter of the bodhisattvas and 1/16 of the arahants decided to accompany Manjushri on his visit. I'm sure there's some significance in these figures, but we've no time to go into that now. In fact, I haven't yet worked it out. And together, as well as the arahats and the bodhisattvas, many hundreds of thousands of gods and goddesses also decided to go with Manjushri to accompany him on this great visit of his. So Manjushri entered the city of Vaishali with a great retinue, as you can imagine. Vimalakirti knew that they were coming, of course. So what did he do? He exercised his magical power. He made everything around him disappear. The house itself, all his attendants, all the furniture, the seats, couches, everything just disappeared, swallowed up. And all that was left, all that could be seen, was just old Vimalakirti lying there on his couch, suspended, as it were, in midair, suspended in a great void. And at this point, Manjushri enters. Though I suppose one can't really say that he enters, there's nothing to enter, because the house has been made to disappear. There's no door, there's no floor to walk upon. But no doubt Manjushri got over that little problem. After all, he was the Bodhisattva of wisdom. On seeing Manjushri, Vimalakirti takes, as it were, the initiative. He calls out, he says, "You are welcome, Manjushri. You are very welcome. There you are, without any coming. You appear without any seeing. You are heard without any hearing." Manjushri, however, was quite equal to the occasion. He replies, "Householder, it is as you say. Who comes, finally comes not. Who goes, finally goes not. Why? Who comes is not known to come. Who goes is not known to go. Who appears is finally not to be seen." So he was really quite equal to the occasion. And he then goes on quite coolly to ask Vimalakirti about his sickness, because that's why he's come. And he tells Vimalakirti that the Buddha has been inquiring after him. And finally he says, "Householder, whence came this sickness of yours? How long will it continue? How does it stand? How can it be alleviated?" These are the standard polite Indian inquiries. And Vimalakirti's reply, which is not at all standard, constitutes one of the most famous passages and also one of the most impressive in the whole of the Vimalakirti Nirdesha text. So let's see what it is that Vimalakirti says. He says, "Manjushri, my sickness comes from ignorance and the thirst for existence, and it will last as long as do the sicknesses of all living beings. Were all living beings to be free from sickness, I also would not be sick. Why? Manjushri, for the Bodhisattva, the world consists only of living beings, and sickness is inherent in living in the world. Were all living beings free of sickness, the Bodhisattva also would be free of sickness. For example, Manjushri, when the only son of a merchant is sick, both his parents will suffer as long as that only son does not recover from his sickness. Just so, Manjushri, the Bodhisattva loves all living beings as if each were his only child. He becomes sick when they are sick and is cured when they are cured. You ask me, Manjushri, whence comes my sickness? The sicknesses of the Bodhisattvas arise from great compassion. So this is what Vimalakirti says, and these words we may say, these words of Vimalakirti in this place ring, so to speak, all through Mahayana Buddhism. But Manjushri is not going to let it rest there. That's all very sublime, it's very deep, it's very true, it's very heartfelt. But he's not satisfied, he's not going to let it rest there, as it were. So more dialectics between Manjushri and Vimalakirti, very brisk dialectics follow. And in the course of these dialectics, in the course of these exchanges, Vimalakirti becomes very paradoxical indeed. We're not going to follow him into those paradoxes, but you can take it from me that the paradoxes are very paradoxical indeed. Eventually, in reply to a question by Manjushri, Vimalakirti explains how a bodhisattva should console another bodhisattva who is sick. He also explains how a sick bodhisattva should control his mind.